Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very senior, accomplished, and respected global leader, a good friend, a fellow YPOR from Michigan, USA, Mr. Scott Mordell. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be with you today.
Thank you. Scott is the former CEO of YPO, an organization that he and I both love, and he has been the longest serving CEO from 2010 to 2020. He's currently the CEO of the Florida Group. So, Scott, let's talk YPO.
Okay.
You have shaped YPO into the incredible organization I'm proud to belong to. Let's start with asking, give me some numbers of YPO.
Oh, my. YPO is a global peer-to-peer organization, and there's 31,000 members, CEO members, in 142 countries as it would go along. We're organized in 475 chapters, and we have more than 40 topical networks where people get together globally on different things such as entrepreneuring, innovation, and everything else in between as one would go about it. Plus, we've got many other platforms to bring people together, including pre-COVID, 6,000 in-person events per year across the organization, and more than 4,000 monthly president's forums as it would go about. So the scope and scale of YPO is wide. And when we add up all of our members' companies, they add up to more than $9 trillion in U.S. dollars in annual turnover.
That would make it, if it were a country, the third largest country in the world.
Yes, it's quite amazing as it would go. And there just shines about the reach and the potential that a network like this can possibly have for us as members and also for the world.
Amazing. So, you know, as a peer-to-peer organization, and I've always said all YPO members are alpha members, what was your motivation to put your hand up and say, I will lead the organization in an executive capacity?
Thank you. And I joined when I was 33 years old. So I had been a member for a period of time. And there's always been three things that have motivated me, Ash, is that one, I always wanted an important challenge. And I wanted it to be an important challenge, meaning that it's got some positive impact on society. And I wanted to work with really incredible people. Well, YPO touches all of that. And as we know, business is a force for good, and better leaders make for better businesses and therefore a better world. So YPO's mission really resonated with me. The more I met with YPO leaders, regional leaders, such as roles that you have held, as well as on the board and global perspective, the sense of humility and servant leadership within the organization was pretty profound for me, and it started to draw me in. So I've always considered this an incredible blessing that I've had the opportunity to serve in this way, in addition to being a member.
Amazing. So before I get into the next question, I thought I'd also ask you, for our young viewers and listeners, tell me a little bit about the history of YPO and when Mr. Hickok founded it.
Yes, in 1950, okay, that's a long, long time ago, more than 70 years, YPO was founded coming out of World War II. There were so many people starting companies, and Ray Hickok was based in the Northeast part of the United States and in upstate New York. And there was no real business education at that time to speak of. And so all of these people starting and running businesses, really, where do they get help? How do they learn how to do it better? And he created an organization just with 20, 25 people in the first meeting, which quickly grew to more than 500 members in the first 2 years. So in 1960, it grew in terms of outside of the United States with some members, but it wasn't until around 2013 or 2014 where we actually had more global members than United States members. So it's been a continuing evolution. We're truly a global organization, and it all started with that need to connect.
Incredible. And I also remember when I joined when I was 34, the phrase, it's lonely at the top, and YPO made sure that I wasn't a lonely person at all. And, you know, but Scott, coming back to the role that you have played as the CEO of YPO, What goes into leading a global organization of peer-to-peer members?
Well, thank you. It's really an amplification of everything that every organization has. Mm-hmm. That ultimately, that it's a huge people puzzle when it's all said and done. Most people don't like to be told what to do. They tend to want to do what they want to do. And CEOs are, I would say, not an exception. They're an example of that.
Yep.
And so with that, we had to figure out and continue to scale. Mm-hmm. How do we take and help 10,000 volunteer CEOs who actually deliver most of the peer-to-peer experience for YPO? Mm-hmm. How do we help them both be creative and work toward our objectives, which is where we're going? So scaling passion and scaling their energy became and continues to be the primary purpose of the central organization.
Fascinating. And over the years, I have seen, and you have, of course, implemented a lot of it and led the teams. How is technology changing YPO?
Oh, it's changing it in so many different ways. First of all, we were founded in a chapter model, which is you meet and you get to know maybe up to 100 people in your local market. But if that's all one does is in their chapter, really not leveraging the network opportunity and effect of 31,000 members globally. So we're using technology to create discussion platforms and connection platforms, as well as how to sort through all of the opportunity and help personalize it for every single member and individual as it would go. So we have the engagement platforms, some we produce and some we don't. The members continue to evolve with that. And it's continually digital and more virtual as everything is. And we too have been disrupted by COVID, and it's really sped up some of the work that we're doing.
Fantastic. And one of the things that I have seen, which I think the YPO leadership and the board have managed very well, is we're a group of very diverse individuals, you know, nationalities, cultures, et cetera, et cetera. How did YPO and you as the CEO manage these very, very difficult expectations?
Oh, thank you. And certainly CEOs are very demanding on top of all of that.
Yes.
You and I would know.
Yes.
First and foremost, it's being very true to the purpose and what brings us together as I would call a global tribe. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're a community of peers. We're here primarily to become better people and better leaders.
Correct.
And we strive to protect the safe haven, the safe trust way that we engage. Mm-hmm. Being core to those helps us when somebody from the United States might be interacting with somebody from India, or somebody from the Middle East is interacting with somebody from China. It's we have a core, and we've all signed into that core. And so with that, across the organization and peer-to-peer learning, people find their common threads, their common connections, and they self-aggregate based on what really works for them. So we accommodate the differences and encourage them, because that's where growth comes from. But at the same time, have to be true to Ray Hickok's original vision from 1950.
Correct.
And continue to allow it to prove itself in a current context.
Correct. And yet, what I saw over the last 10 or 12 years is that there was a culture that started to evolve of YPO itself. And I've often said there are terms in YPO which only a YPOer understands. For example, forum confidential. If I say something to you, you and I part may not be a part of a forum, but I say, Scott, forum confidential, you know what I'm meaning, right? And there are so many other such terms. What do you think is the reason for such incredible synergy that has been built within the YPO members?
It's first of all, if you look at what is a YPO member, it's a man or a woman who has achieved some incredible success at an early age.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've had some success, and they come to the community as a peer, which means that they're curious. They want to learn and they want to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. And once we find it safe enough to share something to somebody, being a little bit vulnerable and find that vulnerability actually, is reinforcing in terms of nobody used it against me. And I learned something from doing that. It creates a common culture. So it just kind of begins to reinforce itself. And we're very, very vocal about it, about being who we want to be and being who we are.
Yeah. And I guess every member genuinely believes that she or he must respond to what the organization expects from them. And they do it with a tremendous amount of spirit and good intention.
Absolutely. After all, what's the point of growing? It's we're all on some kind of journey to become our best selves or to have our best impact. And that's that humility that I was referring to earlier, that has to run underneath us ultimately. And I think it does in YPO.
Well said. The other challenge that I'm sure you faced was culture. You know, from an organization which was till maybe 30, 40 years ago, predominantly US, to an organization which is completely global. As the CEO, what were some of the cultural challenges that you were faced with?
Well, many different things. The more we're connected globally, strangely enough, time zones matter, okay? Mm-hmm. And the more we communicate digitally, the more we need to really strive to be extra human and accommodating of one another as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a constant tension to be open, to acknowledge and validate the people that we're connecting with, and also to listen and continue to listen extra carefully. Mm-hmm. I have found that cross-culturally, things take longer, maybe three times longer to really create connection and convey. Because even though we may be sharing English or different versions of English as we talk around the world, the words mean different things to different people in a context. And so continue to accommodate the cultural distinction is really what it takes. And I think the hunger of us wanting global connection really does pave the way for us really being pretty good at that when we look at YPO as an organization, maybe compared to some others.
Very well said. And if you look at YPO, it's the only organization I know and I'm a part of where the organization actively includes spouses, partners, and families. How does this benefit members and how does it benefit the families?
Oh, it's just extraordinary. I think this is one of the magic points, okay? None of us are leaders in a just solely business context. When we do something in our lives, we're bringing our whole selves, our personal experiences, our personal relationships, our business relationships, and everything else. Mm. And so we say leadership is a whole person endeavor. Mm. So we'd be fools as a growth organization not to include that element of every single leader that's important to her or him as we go, which is the family and that connection in the family, because that will drive their cumulative decision-making. And the impacts for the families are huge because some of the things that allow us to connect as members also allow us to connect within our families and also create the foundation of trust and sharing and vulnerability that sometimes the role between parent and child or husband and wife or whichever can be complicating. And so this, we're bringing these principles to one's whole life, which I think is not just has been profound, but continues to be profound because the families end up being better as well.
Amazing. So my next question to you, all of the YPO members who will listen to our conversation would know it, but for a lot of the non-YPO members, Scott, talk to me a little bit about Forum, which is the most successful product of YPO. And every YPO member has signed up, or most of us have signed up to it, maybe not for one, but multiple ones. What is a Forum and what is the power of the Forum?
Well, imagine you had a group of people that you would meet with virtually every month so that they kind of knew you, they were current with your story. And everybody showed up with very simple rules, which is, everything that's said is confidential, and I have to be perfectly honest, and I have your goodwill at heart, okay? Imagine going into a group and saying, hey, I'm struggling with this, or I'm thinking about that, and knowing that that conversation is just between you and them. You're not getting together to be friends. You're getting together to share and grow. That, imagine if you had that kind of group and you could bring any issue, whether it be business or whether it be personal or whether it just be curiosity to that group. That's what Forum is. And this is where people, because it is lonely at the top, this is where we learn that many of us at the top have a lot of the same struggles. Some of us don't even think we belong at the top. And yet we're able to think these things through and talk them through in a very safe way. Mm. And that sense of camaraderie and shared understanding that comes out of Forum is just profound. It's been the greatest thing that I've had in my life and in my progression. And I hear that story over and over again. And that is YPO Forum.
Amazing. You know, I've been part of a forum for so many years, but you've articulated it so well. Thank you. Moving on, how is YPO different from so many other networks?
Yes, thank you. First of all, it's different because the nature of who shows up. It's not just by job title. It's people who have achieved early, so they feel that they're on some kind of trajectory or growth path, as that would go. Second is we actually vet our network, okay? Just saying it on an application doesn't make it true, but we have we do some diligence to make sure that we have real peerdom when people do show up. Mm-hmm. Third is this idea that it's a whole person experience. So mm-hmm. it's not just a bunch of business seminars talking about pricing theory and the rest of that stuff. It's really a whole experience as it would go. Mm-hmm. And four is, you and I have touched on, it's this true commitment to a very simple culture of sharing and giving and continual growth. Mm-hmm. And those four things together, and you throw in some global diversity and connectivity and the fact that we represent all industries and all mm-hmm. business sizes and the rest, it really is a very unique mix. And at 31,000 members, its potential is extraordinary.
Amazing. And, you know, one of the things I've been hearing in YPO for a long time, you know, for 10, 12 years, is something that the world started talking only 5 or 6 years ago, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion. What makes YPO, and you were leading the organization at that time, what makes YPO think before a lot of other organizations are able to even start understanding some of the challenges? And in addition to this, I'm going to ask you about impact.
Yes, thank you. Well, relative to diversity and all of that, mm-hmm. if we're on a growth trajectory as individuals, we want diversity, right? We want somebody with different points of view. If everybody just confirms our points of view, we've learned nothing. And so this idea that YPO has always been founded in a quest for diversity and growth and different points of view mm-hmm. and different experiences and acceptance. And so with that, that's always been there. In recent years, it's been very clear that we need to be very, very aggressive about how we recruit and include people of diversity, so that mm-hmm. as we become more and more multicultural, it's important to never take that diversity for granted, but actually pursue it quite vigorously. And that's what YPO has been doing. And we're having some successes with that. But of course, there's a long, long way to go before it looks like we all want it to look.
Correct. And a follow-up question to that, Scott, is impact. I mean, I've been amazed to see how much YPO members are giving back in impact because of leadership at the top, because the leadership of YPO is talking impact. How do these things happen?
This is incredible, actually, because it seems like in the last several years, with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals in the late teens, and then also if you look at the Business Roundtable and World Economic Forum and all of that, YPO was already there. We surveyed our members, and more than 90% of them said, you know, leadership's about more than wealth and profits. I mean, we're here to make a difference in the world. And so we've had that young at heart kind of attitude, and it pervades everything. And it doesn't matter who was there first. It just really reflects that we're this young and vibrant attitude about what the purpose of business is, because it is a force for good.
Wonderful. So a couple of more questions on YPO before I move to a few questions for you personally. One of the other challenges that YPO is facing is that I call it a cradle to grave organization. Mm-hmm. You join at 33, I joined at 34 or 35. And yet, you know, we graduate to YPO Gold, but stay on. How is YPO and you as the CEO, how are you managing this wide age differential, and how are you ensuring that YPO is millennial and Gen Z ready?
Yes, thank you. First of all, YPO is a peer organization and is continuing to refresh. If you just look back at our last 3 years, more than 20% of our members joined in the last 3 years. Okay. And so they're millennials, and that's really the age of where they're coming in. And so, so in a peer-to-peer organization, it tends to follow its community, and its community is quote unquote getting younger, but getting refreshed by people in these perspectives as they come in. And when they do come in, not all of their interests are age-based or stage of life-based. A lot of times they're experience-based, and who better to get our wisdom from than people who have started maybe four or five companies and now have a sense of perspective about what that looks like. And so we're seeing a lot of topical engagement that has nothing to do with age as that would go along. So in a peer-to-peer organization of our size, we allow and encourage people to find the topics of interest to them. And there's definitely people in the community that fit that. So one person doesn't need to match with 31,000. She only needs to match with people that she can access in order to discuss her topic and learn from others. And so we're cross-brokering, basically, if you will, all sorts of connections and conversations.
Fascinating. You know, I was talking to a fellow IPOer, and we were talking about millennials. And they said, oh, they're too young. And I said, think back, you and I and then you, Scott, joined YPO at an age which is the same as the millennials today. So I said, YPO was welcoming people in their early 30s. So why can't we do it now?
Exactly. And we are, as it would go, our youngest members are actually in their 20s, as it would go around. So it's really that core culture thing. This is what we attract people by their culture. They want to improve. They want to grow. They've had some success, and it's lonely at the top. And can they see enough of their people, if you will, to where they can feel a sense of community?
Amazing. So, Scott, I'm now going to move to a few questions for you personally. My guests love to get to know, my viewers and listeners love to get to know my guest a little more. My first question is, for someone who made it to CEO before 33, because you joined YPO at 33, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
Well, my couple of them, there's so many really when I go back and reflect back, but the pivot points for me were very much continuing on with my education. You know, I came up in an environment where education was so important, and my father and mother pushed us to go as far as we could. And when I went to Kellogg and crossed industries and also network, it opened a whole different world than I had grown up with. Wow. And that was a key milestone for me, one. Two, leading along, while I was in Kellogg, I had a venture capitalist tell me, if you want to lead a company, the best thing you can do when you get out of school is to go work in a company. I don't know why everybody goes to consulting. Why don't you just go into the company if that's where you want to go? And I went in the company, and I ended up spending 19 years with a wonderful family group and the rest. And that has been fantastic and led to my first roles and support for me to join YPO, actually. And finally, a big milestone is knowing when to take a pause. I took a pause and took a little bit of a mid-career sabbatical, which many of your listeners are not quite there yet. But I took a mid-career sabbatical, and that pivoted me actually into YPO, because I became a more mission-driven leader with a chance to reflect.
Amazing. My next question is that for someone who has led YPO, cross cultures, large companies, YPO itself on its own is a very large organization. What are some of the core values you have believed in?
Thank you. And it's important. I've written these down, and I've written down my core principles, and I hold myself to them and reflect back to them. I would encourage any of your listeners to do the same. It really is focusing. But my values are very simple. It's integrity. You know, do I say what I mean? Am I willing to do the right thing and not just the easy thing?
Yeah.
Respect and compassion for others. Every soul is equal and worthy. And can I embrace life moment by moment that way? Curiosity. Once one stops learning, they are dying. Okay. So I am very, very careful to keep my curiosity active. And finally, accountability. I need to own my actions. I need to own my inactions as an individual and as a spirit in the world. And those are really my drivers.
Fabulous, fabulous. I have time for two more questions for you. My next question is, what does success mean to Scott?
Oh my, I don't want to get too metaphysical here, but but success is ultimately being at peace. Knowing that I've done everything I can do, I've lived according to my intention and values, and its achievement is really much more measured in the hearts and minds of those I've been able to touch and impact. And so I don't control what people think about me. I don't control what people remember about me. All I can control is what I do or don't do within the sphere of what I can do during my time alive. So I just want to be at peace knowing that I lived as true and clear as I can. Everything else will take care of itself.
Wonderful. And my last question to you, who or what inspires you?
Oh my. It's when I see somebody who sometimes I want to, if I can see something common in me and them, and I see them doing great things, it makes me think, wow, you know, I could do more too. I could definitely do more too. And I see this in YPO all the time, and YPOers are particularly inspiring. And so ranging from our former global chair Pascal Gerken, who's done for profit and for impact and just really all in and committed in doing things. And then, of course, we all have these global icons and leaders that when you can find a value that matters to you and you see them really living it firm and meaningfully, it's particularly inspiring. And for me, U.S. President Harry Truman, just after World War II, just a regular guy doing very difficult things. And then, of course, Nelson Mandela and Mahatma Gandhi. I mean, all of these folks are just, they have things that really do inspire me, and I want to be better.
Wow. Scott, on that note, thank you so much. It's been such a privilege speaking to you. Thank you for talking to me at such great length about an organization you and I love, YPO. I think all of us very proudly carry this flag that I belong to YPO. Thank you for the amazing things that you have done for YPO in the last 10 odd years, providing leadership, providing a direction, providing a new perspective. And thank you for telling me so many new things about YPO that I didn't know. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you. And thank you for all you're doing. And I'm enjoying these podcasts so very, very much. Keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast. Platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.